This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Tyrese debuted 4 of 7 shooting yesterday, 9 points, 8 assists, 3 turnovers, and an ass whooping, courtesy of Dame Lillard.
Yeah, that's just not going to get it done.
Dame Lillard scored 35 points in the first half, didn't score again, didn't need to. 35 points in the first half.
Wow.
Bucks were in firm control of that game. And I took to Twitter because I was curious. Of course, you know, the Kevin O'Conn mans, they didn't have anything to say about Tyrese.
They got nothing to say.
However, basketball fans, they was murdering Tyrese last night.
So they was
all over him.
I heard this when it happened, and then after last night, there's, you know, the whole, yo, Tyrese over Kyrie for Team USA is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we all know why.
Yeah.
We all know why. But, I mean, there's other people on that list. I mean, hell, last night, Dame. You weren't going to bring Dame?
I'm sorry.
I mean, we could go five.
Yeah. No, it's fine. No, I'm sorry. Are you forgetting Tyrese Halliburton's first 33 games of the season?
I'm sorry. My mistake.
Good enough to get him an All-NBA vote.
My mistake.
That was.
Or what was
it? That was only 51 short games ago. Come on now.
That's my mistake.
Come on now.
It's air on me.
Poor. Can you imagine? I don't think he's going to continue to play like this.
No.
I don't think the Pacers.
I thought they're going to win a series. I'm sticking with it, but
okay.
That was not a good start.
It's going to look really, really funny if something similar to this continues, and this is our lasting image of Tyrese and the Pacers before that NBA team is announced. And then those guys have to explain how they really put Tyrese Halliburton in there
for the first
33 games of the season.
If he averages, which I don't think he will, I think it'll be better than this. If he averages like 14-7 for this series and a loss, come on, man.
Just want to throw this out there. Sabonis' totals at points, rebounds, and assists. Only numbers have been matched by Wilt and Jokic in a season. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but you know, he's not a rim protector, Jesse. He's not a rim protector. Let's see, 30. Skip this. Go here. Stand by. Oh, it's not doing the thing.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on, man.
What, per 36?
No, per 36. I was trying to, you know how when you highlight?
Yeah, sometimes Basketball Reference messes up on that.
Yeah, it didn't do that. I was trying to get Ty's numbers from, was it hamstring? What he hurt again?
His
hamstring. I was trying to get his numbers post-hamstring injury, but it didn't highlight. And I'm not going to do math, so never mind.
Well, I mean, this is the you know, we could do just a rough guesstimate of what those numbers look like here. Let's see, Tyrese. Oh, this is playoffs. Sorry, we don't want to do that. Tyrese, in April, he got better. 19 points per game, 10 assists. In March.
Better than what? Oh, okay. Gotcha. Go ahead.
March, he was 16.79 assists.
Since his return from injury, he's averaged 17-9.
Do we have what he was before?
It was like 22.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
12, it felt like.
Oh, now y'all want to highlight. All right, now they're highlighting. He was 20. Yeah, he was 20 and 11 before the injury. He was 20 and 11.
32% from three after his injury, by the way.
Mm. 16.8, 9.3 assist.
It comes off as hate, but we don't hate Tyrese. We actually love Tyrese, but it's the coverage.
It's the coverage. It's the way, like, it's the one. A lot of it does have to do with Domas, because if Domas played like he did yesterday, he'd be eviscerated. Domas had like 18 and 12, and was eviscerated for it. Just was absolutely murdered for an entire offseason for it. Y'all better keep that same energy if dude comes up short against Milwaukee. Because Milwaukee has been a sea of dysfunction all season long. Y'all have been firing Doc Rivers jokes off nonstop. Y'all have been writing your little think pieces on Doc Rivers. Giannis ain't even invited to the MVP party.
Come on, man.
And then look like the 96 Bulls yesterday.
Writing stories about how Dame is watching boxing videos in his hotel room by himself. All right. Y'all better have them think pieces ready.
That's it.
On the Indiana Pacers.
You know, they're just going to let that slide. I wonder what it feels like to have like a media darling on your team.
No clue.
I wonder what it feels like. If we had that type of thing here in Sacramento, that we would, you know, have the when we go around with the what's my boy's name, the King of Queens meme,
Kevin James,
and we would go around like Kevin James,
hands in pockets.
Is that how we'd look if we had a media darling? We just like, just, you know, for the YouTube crowd, just looking, because I want to know what that feels like.
I'm taking a quick look at Kevin O'Conman's tweets. Doesn't even say Ty's name.
This dude.
He has a gif of Ty when Ty hit the Dame time and just captioned it, Dame Lillard remembers. But nothing about Ty's play yesterday. Wild. What about JJ? JJ say anything?
What JJ got to say?
Let's see. Let's explore timelines.
Timeline watching.
Let's
here
see.
On
JJ.
On D-Lo, you know,
and Casey. I'm going to go zero tweets from JJ.
Podcast, full episode. There's nothing. Nothing from JJ in several days.
Give me that win.
Absolutely not.
Look at him fishing.
How the mighty have fallen.
We need to do the one that we talked about almost a week ago.
Which one?
The one where we were in Oak Park?
Yeah, man.
Oh, so you guys are just plotting pocket watches.
No,
you guys are together doing your little Chris Webber events, huh? Teaming up on me, huh? You see it, Chatty House?
Look, he starts losing and gets paranoid. He's like, "The gang, I see you ganging up on me." Sir, no, we're not. He gets paranoid. The pressures.
All right. The return of pocket watches.
Oh, yeah. This is the only good thing to the Kings season being over.
Let me just take a quick peek at a couple of things. We did bring this up. It was part of the conversation that was being had on stage. Okay. All right.
Yeah, we cooking. We cooking.
Pocket watch.
We cooking. Your boy's back. The Olympics are over. Let's go.
Pocket watching returns. James Hamm is going to join us here. Near the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we'll get his thoughts on what went on at the exit interviews today, his biggest takeaways, and how the Kings offseason is starting just a little bit early. We'll also take a look around. Man, it was not fun watching the playoffs this weekend.
No,
there were some good games. There were some great performances. It was just really difficult to enjoy. I think I'll be able to
watch an OKC, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that was and that was a fantastic game that I just found myself like getting up and walking away from on multiple occasions. Game I was locked into the most was actually the Mavericks and the
Clippers. That's the series I'm looking at.
That's the one that I just was It's just locked in.
Like what I saw.
Yeah, I know you did.
Let's not forget that you did change your pick before the series began.
I did. I'm not going.
Did like, you? You did. Like,
yeah, just that's like Indiana, right. I'm not going back.
Respect it.
But yeah.
I took the Mavs as well, so we'll both be wrong, I guess. What the hell was that, Dallas?
Well, I mean, it's one game, and hey, salute. I get my jokes off, James Harden.
Man, I don't think we'll see that again.
Well,
we will. We'll see it in game four. We'll see a dud in game two and game three,
well,
game
six.
It's
early in the playoffs, so it doesn't carry the weight yet. But he played phenomenal last night. And we didn't talk about this last week. I meant to talk about it Thursday, Friday. We just never really got to it. Man, there is nothing stranger in the NBA than Kawhi Leonard injury watch in the playoffs. Like, Kawhi could be working his way back to a return. Kawhi could have a torn ACL, and you just have no clue. You're literally just waiting to find out game to game.
Just in the dark.
We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk some other NBA notes and pocket watching returns.
Oh, yeah.
Next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
We're talking about
most anticipated 13th round of the year.
Man, big time year. It was a hell of a fight, first of all, Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. That was a hell of a fight, and Ryan Garcia, crazy like a fox is what some people say.
Did it go the way you expected?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all. I thought Ryan was going to get destroyed. He ended up doing the destroying, beat Devin Haney by majority decision. I was going to ask, Devin Haney, we were wondering if he broke his jaw in that fight, and I don't know. My whole thought was he was talking. He was doing the post-game press conference or interview. He didn't do the press conference. He did the interview in the ring. Mm-hmm. So that made me think his jaw wasn't broken. But do you know, can you talk with a broken jaw?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Carefully?
Know. Yeah, he didn't seem too careful. But it was swollen. Like, his jaw area was
Maybe he can only move it so much then.
Maybe.
Like, because I would think if it's broken, like, you maybe the swelling kept it from, like, being moving just, the way. Yeah, yeah. Like.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember seeing this one fight, Arthur Abraham. He fought somebody. He broke his jaw in, like, the second round and fought the whole fight.
Mm.
I can't imagine.
WebMD says he'll have trouble speaking.
He didn't seem like he had trouble speaking, huh?
No, he's kind of like, yeah, I got my ass beat yesterday, or beat my ass. Like, he's kind of like that.
We haven't seen him since, though. That would lend to maybe there's something going on.
Gotta say, though, nothing better than a big fight. I was laughing and stuff, just hyped as can be when Ryan was fighting him.
I couldn't believe Ryan did that. I couldn't believe he did that.
Were we rooting for somebody?
I guess I was rooting for Devin. I like Devin Haney. I don't not like Ryan Garcia, although Ryan Garcia is off his rocker right now. Like, some of the things he was
crazy.
Yeah, he's and I don't think – so during the fight when he was winning, everybody's like, oh, he fooled everybody. It was an act, da-da-da-da-da. And then he had the post-fight interview, and it's more of the same. I was like, I don't think this was Zach. I think he's lost his marbles. But he knew how to fight.
Alex in the chat brings it up. You see LeSean McCoy put up $250,000 on Devin Haney? He tweeted, let's go.
I'd be wondering, LeSean McCoy got that kind of money?
I was kind of wondering the same.
Then he put up $250 on Ryan to beat Tank?
I don't remember, I think.
Because he was anti-Tank, I think.
LeSean McCoy's thing is that he can't get a bet right to save his life. He bet on the Sixers during some winning streak and they lost this season.
Man.
If I'm not mistaken. And that's the thing, John Post has it. He bet $250,000 only to win $25,000. Like, it wasn't like this big money bet or anything.
LeSean McCoy,
you even do that?
He's not the sharpest tool in the drawer. Elevator don't go to the top floor.
Little Ken Shamrock there.
Oh, yeah. Your boy's back.
So let's let's set the scene here. We were at Oak Park. Chris Weber was talking, and I don't know what Chris said, but Casey and I both looked over at each other like, we're going to do pocket watching with Chris Weber? This would be Kenny Caraway's 10th straight victory.
Go. Let's go. And it'd give me, what, two games over 500, right? Two games?
No. What? For the first time in the history of pocket watching, Casey would take the lead.
Oh boy, I'm
on Jesse.
I'm cooking, boy. I'm cooking.
At 13-12. Of course, he would need a victory here first. This sounds a little bit dated, given our Chris Weber event was like a week ago, but it was on our mind back when we did it. The Hall of Famer with the new book, By God's Grace, played 15 seasons in the National Basketball Association. His career earnings, his single season earning, excuse me, his highest single season earning, peaked at $19.1 million in the 2005-2006 season. Again, peaked at $19.1 million.
How many seasons again?
15 seasons in the NBA for the former number one overall pick out of the University of Michigan.
Go Blue.
In 1993, career earnings for our Hall of Famer, Chris Weber. Jesse, desperately need a victory here. You have not done well being first up to plate. 15 seasons, 19.1 is his peak. Career earnings for the former number one overall pick.
We're going to go $119 million.
We're going to go $119 million. Kenny Caraway, for your 10th straight victory. Chris Weber, former number one overall pick from the University of Michigan, 15 NBA seasons, peaked at 19.1 in the 2005-2006 season. Career earnings for Chris Weber is what?
I'm going to go $126 million, Bob. $126 million.
Pretty specific and confident guess there, I'll say.
For his 10th straight victory.
Yeah.
And his 13th overall.
Yeah.
$178,230,000.
Yeah.
For Chris Weber.
I did not think they were making money like that.
I was going to say 210, and then Jesse went 119. I said, well, there's no need to go crazy. There's no need to go crazy. No, what I did realize, though, when we broke all that down and I was thinking about his contracts, I was like, damn, Chris didn't make $200 million.
No, Chris had the number one overall pick money and then his Kings money. And then it kind of,
he got hurt with the Kings.
Yeah, everything kind of changed after that. Remember, Chris's deal with the Kings was like 7 years or something. You know, that's back when you were allowed to do that.
What was his total, like, money with the Kings? Do you remember?
Well, that's tricky. Let me figure that out.
You see it's in my veins, man. You see it's in my veins. You know what it is. Will Z, you see it, baby.
I might have two nine-game losing streaks.
I have Chris's Kings contract at 7 years, $116. $16 million.
Okay, yeah, I was not thinking they were making money like
he
that.
He signed. Well, it's the 7 years, right? It's the you can't sign for 7 years anymore. Like that. You. That's, yeah, that's the.
Tell me how close I am here. This might even be worth a bonus win, but this is how I broke it down. I thought he got 120 from the Kings. I thought he got 50 million from his rookie deal. It was either 40 to 50 million. That might be a little too high for that time. Maybe it was more like 30 to 40.
He was. This is so difficult to read.
I feel like it was like 4 years, maybe 5 years, $48 million or something like that. It feels like that's what it would be.
In that. Who was his first team?
The Warriors.
The Warriors. This is it. It doesn't. I don't know how to read this. Sorry, because it's not broken down properly. Because it says 19. It says he signed a 15-year, $74 million contract.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know how to break down
that
his original
crazy.
Contract.
Crazy. So I think you're right.
I think it's 6 years. 58 maybe.
So look, here's how I look at it. I'm looking on SpotTrack. This is what I think might have happened. The first year, that contract with Golden State was probably what it was. And then did it maybe get ripped up when he got traded to the Bullets?
There's no way he signed a 15-year contract. I mean, I recognize we were in a different world then, but we weren't in the Magic Johnson era.
I don't think my thought is maybe they didn't. I don't know what they're doing with this Warrior stuff. Maybe the contract was the 6 years, 58.
That's the one that I was looking at. That's the one that
might have been the rookie deal.
So I feel like the contracts are the one that you see under the Bullets, the Kings, and then the extra Detroit year. And no, those are still Kings years, aren't they? He never signed another contract after the Kings, did he?
No, just the 1 year joints with Detroit and everything. Yeah, that's
still... Are those 1 year joints or are those the Kings contract?
The Kings contract. When he went to Philly, that was the Kings contract. I think when it was
when he went right, Philly, then goes to Detroit. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Well, Kenny Caraway, 13-12.
Can't stop. Won't stop.
My scorecard is all messed up.
Just can't have two nine-game losing streaks, and we'll get into the playoffs.
Well, you're at a 10-game.
We're going to split them apart for the bit, man.
I think you're at a 10-game losing streak, buddy.
Can't get to 18.
Can't get to 18.
I mean, the question really is Jesse ever going to win again?
Oh, new graphic up. New graphic. 13-10 or 13-12. New graphic. Your boy is cooking. Shout out Will Z.
I didn't see it because I blocked Will Z.
Oh, no. Will Z has been blocked.
Oh, what happened with Jesse in this graphic?
What's going on? Yeah, this is when Jesse said, get the camera out of my face. He hit him with the Tupac. You're going to spit at the camera next time. Man, unbelievable. 13-12. Well done, Kenny. Jesse is now flirting with Detroit Pistons territory.
Oh, hey, we get it.
That is disrespectful. Boy, oh boy. Well, the rest of the playoffs, there was a question. We were on Sports Sunday last night, and there was a question they asked us that they wanted to ask us, and we didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an interesting question.
I did too. I thought it was a good question.
So I brought it here. I brought it here to D'Lo and KC. And the question was, now that the Kings are out, who do you want to see win a championship?
So I don't want to scoop your heat, as Bret Hart would say, but my answer of any player in the playoffs is probably obvious to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go first, I can piggyback.
Well,
but it's more than the player that I said for Sports Sunday. I said the Sports Sunday name for kind of a more grander reason. But I think everyone knows the answer to this question for me.
So I said, for the Sports Sunday answer, I said Paul George. And just because I like Paul George, I think, people be doing too much with him in a negative way. And I'd love to see him get that opportunity to be a champion. I'd love to see that for him. And then as I was like watching the game, I was like, oh, I forgot Russ is on
the
team.
The one.
And I love Russ. Like, I would love for Russ to win a championship.
You know what the other side of that knife is?
Well, man, that's another reason why I'd love to see it. That would be crazy. That'd be chaos.
Russ gets his ring, and so does James Harden.
That would be chaos. You know, I thought about that answer. You know, my first answer was.
I think it was the same answer I had.
No.
Oh.
My very first answer, my very first thought, while your answer is, God, I agreed with it. Like, I was like, oh, no, I'd love to see that too.
So mine was Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For the funny thing is, I'd like to see Jason Tatum get a ring. Mm-hmm. One, I like the Celtics organization a lot more than you do. But two, for all of the same things you said about Paul George, mm-hmm. I feel like those things are like this stupid ass things that are said about Jason Tatum right now. Mm. They really talk about that dude as if he's not one of them. Mm. Like he is one of the ones in the league, not ascending to one of the ones. Like Tatum is one of those ones right now.
Well, Jesse would know. Celtics fans and reporters who are fans be questioning Tatum like that.
Crazy.
I don't understand it.
Not so much this year, but before that, yeah. I mean, I don't.
He is not a media. He is not a Tyrese.
No.
He is not a media darling. He is not one of them dudes that they love.
That Warriors series, in 2022 or whatever year that was, really did a number on
him. And I guess that's the fallout from this. I'm not trying to throw shade at the Warriors. That's the fallout from losing a series that you had no business losing. Mm. And, like, Tatum is suffering the fallout from that.
Yeah, facts. But, I mean, I love Tatum. I love Tatum. I would absolutely be hyped if he won a championship. Be happy for Jesse. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I want to see my guy happy. I would not be happy that the Celtics won. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Tatum and Jesse override that. So it's good. But my initial thought, the very first thing I thought was, hey, man, I'd like to see Ant-Man win. That's my boy.
Oh,
that's my boy. But I had to think about it. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm still old school to a certain degree.
Got to pay your dues.
You got to pay your dues, man. You got to go through the growing pains, go through the experiences and stuff like that. So I'd want to see him eventually win. But, like, I want to – that's part of the story. That's Mike Holden crying the title. That's part of – the Lexion and all that, you know what I mean? But
I don't even know what Ben's here for, but
Ben in the chat co-signed that was his brother that we talked about 2.5 hours ago.
Okay.
But yeah, man, Ant-Man, and he was cooking on Saturday.
Oh man, that's
my dog.
If we're doing hot takes coming out of game one or whatever, the Timberwolves are the team I think that could knock off Denver to get to the finals. Mm.
Yeah, well, he had a moment.
We had another one. I don't know if you heard the handoff, but I was telling Kyle and Jesse, I said, hey, man, Ant-Man, he might end up being the best player in the league ahead of Luka. Mm. Like, because they try to give it to Luka, mm-hmm. say Luka's mm-hmm. that and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ant-Man is better than Luka. And I know it comes off as Luka hate because I haven't always been, like, a super Luka fan.
Nah, they can both be great players.
Yeah, I think Luka's great. Like, I think he's phenomenal.
Ant can
I think
be
Ant's better than him. I think
35 point per game scorer.
I think he can.
Near triple-double.
Nah, he doesn't dominate the ball the way Luka does. That's why those numbers might not be that. But he can pass.
Mm-hmm.
He can rebound. He's light years better defender. He's a true defender. He's a true two-way guy. I think Ant-Man could be the best player in the game.
Mm.
What he did on Saturday, that was he's arrived type stuff. I don't know what the rest of the series is going to look
like. There's a couple
of those. I
picked
Phoenix to win that series. But all the home teams won. Every home team won on over the weekend. But Ant, man,
mm-hmm.
he's special. He is special.
Yeah, some of these young guys, man. Shea had a little outing. Tyrese Maxey was really good.
Mm.
He's questionable today, I believe.
Yeah, he's sick.
Illness.
Yeah, he's sick.
That hamburger in New York. He had that bad papaya on the corner, on the corner of 7th Street.
I really hope Tyrese Maxey is not buying papaya on the corner of.
That's the best place to get them.
No doubt, but maybe not during the playoffs. maybe not.
He went somewhere, got it the Aki way. You seen those videos?
That dude's got to be sick of making that sandwich, bro.
Maybe he's going to make anything. There's this dude in New York who looks like Jose Alvarado, who, like, all these people come into his little, like, corner deli store,
mm-hmm.
and they say, hey, can I get... You know, they say anything.
Bro, they'll hand you some honey buns and some hot Cheetos and tell you they want a sandwich the Aki way, and he'll make it.
And some Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Make it. And like the hockey way, and then like he films like everybody comes in there. Everybody.
What's it? How does he make a sandwich with?
He just throws like mozzarella, deep fries, everything. Like it's disgusting, but
gotta get the matzo.
Pop tarts.
Anything you want.
Whatever you
sour
hand
patch,
to him.
If you say Sour Patch Kids, he'll throw it on there.
Some dude walked in with a pizza. I hope he made some money from that, like
oh,
through
he
the YouTube
paid.
And
no,
stuff
he,
like that.
He definitely getting he getting paid.
You
he
ever see
off.
Them mozzarella sticks they serve at 32 Brews?
No.
I had to ask Nicole Adam. I was like, "Oh, what are those?" They're yeah, they're not appropriate for our childish
maybe
audience.
It's right in with what.
Why not,
well,
Damien?
They
why
do.
Are they not appropriate?
No, they might fit in.
Is Ant-Man what? Or
that's what he says, Abel. Never, never, never. When they got to get the drink or whatever, he say, "Oh, can't forget the drink." Never, never, never.
And is
where it's
is
the
it?
Most New York thing you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Are we dealing with Casey? Get the sandwich the hockey way?
Oh man, we going. No, we going. When we go on a road trip, we going to get a sandwich the hockey way.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm down to go.
I don't know if I'll actually eat it, but we're gonna get filmed.
So, what's this? An IG account? Is that
what
it is?
YouTube? I think he's probably on TikTok and stuff. I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably TikTok. He's definitely on the IG. That's where I saw him. But he's probably it's probably started as TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah. It's funny though.
I'm down. I'm down.
I don't even know how we got there. He's sick.
Yeah, because
Max
Kyrie's
is sick.
Sick.
He went got it.
Speculating that he was eating papaya on the streets of New York City.
Going back to Ant-Man real quick, is he like one of one in the league as far as mentality? Those old school players that they use that people talk about.
Because
I feel like him talking trash to KD yesterday and all that, like we don't really see that too much anymore. He's kind of like KG in a way.
We like that.
Like that intensity.
Yeah. Yeah, we like that. I like that. I went in, man, started talking to that.
He really is the character in that
no,
movie he did.
He really is. He really is.
Yeah, he really is that character.
He played it's Rabbit and 8 Mile. Eminem playing himself.
So it's funny.
What the Ant-Man was.
It's funny for all of the young the Maxies and the Ant-Mans that have big games. You had Dame Lillard and James Harden kind of going old school, like, yeah, no, we can still do it.
So what do you make of that that game, man? That Mavericks
Dame,
that Mavericks Clippers game. I mean, the Mavericks
not
they can't shoot any worse.
Yeah, I don't make a lot of it. I don't make a lot of it. Like you got a great performance from James Harden, as you mentioned. They probably can't shoot worse. The one thing I'd say about it though, if the Clippers were doing something on the defensive end, and I'm not trying to run numbers here, but if they were doing something on the defensive end to frustrate Dallas and you know, give them, you know, maybe not the best looks, maybe some forced shots, maybe some things that they didn't like. And I don't know how much of that is the case. Like, I think back to the very, very first shot of the game. Luka just kind of brought the ball up the floor, was just dribbling at the top of the key, and just shot it. Like, that was the first play of the game, like off the jump. And so I don't know that that was necessarily the case. It was just a night things weren't falling for him. But if it was, I don't trust their coach to make adjustments. So how much of a percentage, how much of a percent goes to missed shots in the flow of the game? It happens. It's going to continue to happen versus, hey, let's adjust the game plan a little bit. You'll hit a slightly higher clip than that and be in a better position. Mm-hmm. If it's about them making adjustments, I'm never going to trust them to do that. Not them, the players, him, the coach. But I don't think that was the case. I think this is probably a 7-game series with or without Kawhi Leonard. I feel like it's going to be without Kawhi Leonard. I feel like we might be entering that territory. I have nothing to base this on except past history. I don't think we see Kawhi all postseason.
Yeah, it's not looking promising.
Like it's so weird and so random, and like Ty Lue is not saying anything. He got shots up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's all he did? All right. Like, was he standing still?
How are you going to go from getting shots up to playing in game 4?
Exactly. Like, you didn't even, like, was he standing still when he was shooting these? Was he moving? Were they shooting drills? Like, what exactly was this? You're never going to get an answer to those types of questions when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, because that's not what they want out there. And all of his coaches and people have respected that to this date, which is fine. But at this point, I've lived through this before. Like, I just don't think he's playing. But I do think the Clippers can sustain a series with Dallas without Kawhi Leonard. I don't know how much further they can go. Like, once you get into, like, not just when you get into, you could call them tougher teams if you want to. Dallas has been playing as good as anybody. But when 7 games turns to, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 games now is 20, 21, 22. Like, how many can you sustain without Kawhi Leonard? I doubt that it gets that high.
The way to play Dallas, in my opinion, is pretty simple. You take away as much as you can from Luka and Kyrie, and you make the others beat you. And if I'm the Clippers, I'm staying with that game plan, and I don't think the others can beat me. Especially since it's going to be 3-point shooting. Like, it's not like they're doing anything else but just catching shooting. I don't think they can beat me 4 times. They may be able to get me twice. You know what I mean? Like, PJ might get hot. Exum might get hot. Cleaver, he might hit some, whatever the case may be. Tim Hardaway Jr. It might happen twice. I don't believe it could happen 4 times. And that's the way I would defend them. Yesterday, didn't happen at all. Like, wow. These guys were ice cold. From anywhere, really. And the Zubac thing is a little bit of an issue. I didn't anticipate that, where Zubac played Gafford and Lively off the floor in that first game. They had to go with the small ball.
And I think the number, I have to go to the bot. I think the number was 18 made threes for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I don't know how regular that is either.
I think the Clippers played without Kawhi. It feels like they played as good as they can play.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they can't do it again.
Right. Or they can't play close to that again and win. But that, I mean, with James Harden playing the way he did yesterday, I mean, that's about as good as it gets. I don't think Paul George had a great game, so maybe there's still room for that. But
we'll come back. James Hamm will join us. We'll get to the phones, too. Steve, we see you. Hang on 1 second, Steven, 916-909-1320. We'll talk with James about exit day. I don't know. Whatever you call it. The offseason begins today for the Sacramento Kings. You know, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, we expect James Hamm to join us here pretty soon. Let's get to our man Steven, who's been waiting very, very patiently on the phone lines. 916-909-1320. Steven, appreciate you, man. What's going on?
Well, it's a long offseason, so getting used to the waiting, guys.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Hey, a few things that I know we didn't talk too much about the game in specific, but I just wanted to, like, first of all, the luck that we had to end up in an elimination game against the Pelicans, everything seemed like it was going the opposite way. It looked like the Pelicans were going to be, like, the 4 seed at a, like, you know, at a certain point, 5 seed. It was like, there was the one team I felt like we could avoid. And I think that's what's so frustrating about this season is the Pelicans really owned us, but outside of that, I really feel like we could have made some noise this year in the West. You know, it's just like, I feel like, you know, OKC was the team I had circled. I thought was a great matchup with us, like, for us. Get Monk back up sometime and make a lot of people eat their words about this team. All that being said, you know, it is what it is, but there's a lot of questions. You know, it's just like watching a big game like that and seeing the Pelicans' big men just dominate, you know, to the tune of 48 minutes between Valanciunas and Nash Jr. turned into 32, 19, 6 assists, blocks, all that. It was just too easy, them coming at us, like, you know, downhill or inside and just being able to dominate Domas. And I felt like Lynn should have played more, but what do you guys think as far as defensively, with HB and Domas being the obvious weak links, you know, on our defensive unit, what do we have to put next to Domas to, like, you know, get us over the hump where we're not just that team you can just come at so easily?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steven. I feel like that might be if Malik Monk is the million-dollar question headed into this offseason. This one is pretty damn close because I think this is the one everyone has an opinion on, a thought on, or a concern over. I saw in the chat earlier, you know, as the show got underway about, you know, is it too simplistic to think you move Domas to the four and find a big who can, you know, do the traditional big things and be aggressive and be a rim protector and all of that. And I don't know the answer to none of that stuff. I don't know who the guy, I mean, I do know Naz Reid would be great. Naz Reid would be tremendous. That's not happening. That was a discussion that we had last year. Naz Reid is probably on his way to winning the Sixth Man of the Year award because Malik Monk doesn't exist because he got hurt 10 games
before the finalist. Season. He is a finalist.
He might get it.
I'm not as sold on the fact that it's just over for that particular award as you are. I think there's still a chance he might get it.
I hope you're right. I think he deserves it. I absolutely think he deserves it.
I always thought Bobby Portis had a stronger case than Naz Reid. Naz Reid is great, but Bobby Portis legit has come off the bench for the majority of the season, and he's been really good.
It's weird. They're really completely good. Enamored by what Naz Reid did at the end of the season and completely enamored by what Tyrese Haliburton did at the beginning of the season. Apparently, what you do for the entire season doesn't really matter.
Nah. Who cares about that?
But I don't know what the answer. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think you're moving Domas to the four to bring in a quote traditional big. And if you did, it'd have to be a hell of a player. And again, I don't know who that guy is, or even if that acquisition is even remotely realistic.
The guy that everybody's talking about that would be great, I think, would be Lauri Markkanen. The Jazz are in a little bit of flux with what they're doing with the roster, like what direction they want to go. Maybe they would be willing to move on from a guy like Lauri Markkanen, but not sure. He'd be a great fit though if they were able to get Lauri Markkanen in some type of trade, because he could shoot the ball. I know a lot of people talk about defense and rim protecting and everything else like that. I think Keegan Murray should be a four. You know, I think he should be that big forward. They should look to either go three guard lineup or find a traditional small forward.
So Lauri is not a guy who's going to protect the rim.
Not necessarily.
So is his biggest value to Sacramento, or necessarily Sacramento, his biggest value to Domas, the fact that he could stretch the floor?
Yeah, that'd be my, he could stretch the floor, he could shoot it.
And you're looking at that at offsetting, like whatever deficiencies you have on the defensive end, you just have because of the capable scorer you have in him.
Yes. I mean, that's a guy that legit can score 20 a game in this league.
And Markkanen ranks where in terms of, like, what category does he fall under in terms of how you
Markkanen
would
probably be, he would probably be in that second category. Because I don't think you have to trade Keegan to get him. So maybe technically he'd be in the first one. A guy that has warts. He has had some injury concerns in his career as well. He's been healthy the last couple of years. But before, one of his issues was he couldn't stay healthy. So maybe that would be his wart.
Like, what does his offseason look like? He has a partially guaranteed contract next year.
Really?
His contract is only guaranteed. I'm looking to see when it becomes fully guaranteed. Oh, a day after the NBA draft.
So if he,
it's guaranteed at $6 million.
So if he got cut the day before the draft?
If he got cut the day before the draft, he gets $6 million. If he doesn't, it's $18 million.
That would be crazy. Lauri Markkanen gets cut the day before the draft.
Yeah, like that. That's weird. I didn't realize that was the makeup of his contract. He's an unrestricted free agent next year.
So unrestricted he falls free agent. He's got one more year left. right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent after the year we just explained.
So he would probably fall in that first category where you would trade.
The wart is.
Yeah, you don't have him locked up.
Yeah.
And he could leave you.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be a good pickup.
Certainly wouldn't be a bad one.
That'd be a good. The concern also would be what he could do on the defensive end. I haven't watched a whole lot of Lawrence. I don't know for sure if he's, you know, has deficiencies on the defensive end or anything else like that. But maybe that might be the concern that, you know, he's not a strong defender and you're not a good defensive team or something like that. But yeah, I look past that.
The funny thing is this team obviously took improvements on the defensive end, but it feels like they're step back on the offensive end was just as, if not more damaging than when they were playing bad defense. We can dissect so many different games and so many different moments, but so many of them boil down to the Kings not hitting shots. I mean, the obvious exception is, you know, the Milwaukee game. The Milwaukee game, they scored 130-something points. I think it was 133. I can't remember if the score was 134 to 133 or 135 to 134. It was something. Either way, it was a lot of points. It boiled down to them missing free throws at the end, and I think if there's a, you know, I think it was De'Aaron who said something along the lines of, if we are more consistent at the free throw line, we're probably a 50-win team. Of course, De'Aaron clocked them at 50 wins like four different times with multiple different scenarios. And the tough part is he's not wrong in any of them. He's absolutely not wrong in any of them. So you improved free throw percentage. You're a top six team. You don't lose to the teams with a 275 or less win percentage. You're a top six team. But all of those things did happen. And, man, it felt like there were a lot of games where I remember at the beginning of the year, is their offense broken? You know, they hadn't established themselves defensively yet. You know, there were moments, particularly with Keegan, where you're like, oh, they're getting better. They're getting better. Oh, you see it. It was visual. Like, it was right there. You didn't have to be Will Z. You didn't have to dive into numbers. You didn't need synergy. You could just look and see, okay, they are getting better defensively, but their offense seemed to have taken such a step back. We'd start the show asking, yo, what's wrong? Is their offense broken? Are they focusing too much on the defensive end? Then there was a point where it looked like, okay, it leveled out. Their offense is back. And then their defense ramps up with Keon Ellis in the rotation. And then, of course, everything changes. You lose Kevin Huerter. You eventually lose Malik Monk. And, yeah, your offense is going to look a little different when you lose your 1 and 2 starting two, or your 1 and 2 at your guard depth position.
Let me ask you another question. That scenario that we laid out, the third scenario, where they stand
running it back-ish.
They stand pat-ish, right? Are all those things that we just talked about and those issues, is that fixable? Being a better free throw shooting team.
So
beating the teams that you're quote-unquote supposed to. Is it conceivable that if they run it back, they could be a team that's 5-6 games better next year?
In my head, yes. But in reality, those are questions we asked all year. Like, you couldn't fix those things during the season? Like, we're not talking wholesale change. The offense, I mean, we saw them improve 9 spots on the defensive side of the ball in season, but they never really got there, and their offense continued to be up and down. They couldn't correct the issue free throw shooting. So my answer is yes. My answer is yes. But in practice, it feels like, no, they didn't do it.
Well, I don't know the complete splits, but when it became a thing, a real situation, they went like 10, 12 games shooting good free throws.
Yeah.
So they, before it was just like, brush it off, no big deal. Like, the players were doing that. And then when they had like a 56% free throw shooting night where they lost by five.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, all right, yeah, this is unacceptable. And they turned it up. Now, the question would be, why do you need that to turn up and like be a good free throw shooting team? Just stay focused all the way through.
Hell, it's not part of the story. They even shot poorly on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that was one time I pulled a Kamara. And I said, the game, there was two scenarios where the game was in the balance and they just let it go.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.